Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is Doc Menzel with All About Service Dogs. And we are here tonight featuring our guest, Mr. Mike Dalton. Mike will be talking to us tonight a little bit about his organization, Gap Service Dogs, and his guild for service dogs. And we'll hear from him in a minute. Very quickly, I'd like to welcome all of you in and say we appreciate you tuning in, and we appreciate you sharing our links and inviting friends and family members in the service dog community, are interested in the service dog community, to listen in live and on podcast. Now tonight, because we have Mike Dalton with us, you will be able to call in and ask a question, give a comment, show some support. And the number that you will call in at is 646-668-2499. Now, when you do call in, if you call in just to listen on your phone, that's fine. That way you don't have to be tied to your computer. You can go about whatever you need to go about and listen to on your phone. Or if you call in to make a question or a comment, once you're in, go ahead and press the number 1 on your keypad, and that lets us know that you have a question or a comment, and we'll get you right into the show. Now, sit back and turn it up and enjoy this enlightening conversation. Mike, go ahead and greet the people, introduce yourself, and let's get this thing going.
Oh, I'm Mike. Guild of Systems Dog Partners and the Gap Service Dogs.
Okay, Mike, you're in a bad spot wherever you're at because your phone went out 2 or 3 times and we missed what you were saying. So let's give that another shot and try that again.
Okay, I'll try out here. Can you
hear
me good?
That's sounding better. Oh, that sounded much better.
Wonderful. I'm Mike with Guild Assistance Dog Partners, and our acronym is GAP for Gap Service Dogs. And we started back in 2000. We got our 2001. We got our 501c3, which is nonprofit status, and we've been doing guide dogs and service dogs since then. We also do some professional therapy dogs, and those happen to work in places such as schools or psychologist offices, things like that. Pet therapy tends to be the ones that visit hospitals and things like that. So it kind of ranges. The service dogs are the majority of ours. And that's such a huge area, a wide variety of needs from what people automatically assume in their brain, people sitting in wheelchairs, to what we call hidden disabilities, or people that have seizures or have disabilities you just can't quite tell. Those are typically called hidden disabilities. So it's a wonderful job to have, I guess you'd say. But we felt like there was a gap in the system. A lot of kids weren't getting help, and people were waiting 2 to 5 years to get a guide dog or service dog, and we tend to do more specialty stuff and a little different methodology to our training. So we use a lot of bonding style training. If you have specific questions, that'd be, there's such a huge area, it'd be good to pinpoint things if you have curiosity.
Well, I got a million questions, and I can steer this ship just with a surgeon's ability. I wanted to ask you, how did you get started in training guide and or service dogs, and what was your first initial introduction into the community?
I pretty much grew up having dogs around all the time. That was a normal. It had been such a normal, natural thing for me to, I didn't understand how other people couldn't work with their dogs, you know. It just didn't make sense. It was so natural for me. And friends would say, you know, it's just kind of scary because you guys can don't hardly talk or to each other, the dog and I, but you know what to do. And so, you know, I tried a few different things, hunting, you know, then got into some bomb detection and narc dogs and search and rescue. And when I got into the guide dog and service dog areas and started watching the complexity of what it takes, that seemed to fit my heart a lot better because, you know, a guide dog typically has 75 commands. And a lot of people are just happy that their pet dog can do 5 or 10 things. The service dogs can be a lot more commands, but not as detail-oriented dogs. So I always found it interesting how much variety. You know, a dog just isn't a dog. It's got a lot of personality and quirks and talents, and just like humans, we all have our things that we do naturally and excel at better. And the purity of the dog's heart has always set right with me. They're, you know, they're not really out to screw anybody over or, you know, get, you know, they're out to play and have fun and show love and help out. And it's just a lot nicer to deal with them. So it was easier for me to find a path. And then, you know, it's not very easy to train a dog and give it to another person, because, you know, that's your friend that you've worked with. One time I saw one of my dogs at a mall, and I stayed across the mall. This was still the indoor style were very common. And I could see it working, and I could see it put its head up and look over in my general direction. So I thought, I know it knows I'm here. And I just kind of watched, and it wagged its tail, turned back forward, and kept on working. And I thought, you know, if I have this talent, then, you know, why not help more people? And I really like helping, you know, a lot of people. I used to be an EMT, and that it's always nice to be on an ambulance helping, but it's very sporadic. It's all on or all off. And this is very steady, and you can see people smile in their face, and you can it's really interesting to see people heal with something as simple as a dog. their hopes go up. One of the board of directors is a nurse, and she in ophthalmology, and she's done some other research, and she noticed that at the hospital the immune systems would come back on after people have been through the chemo if they were petting a dog. So we found it to be interesting how much help the dogs do just by their existence for humans. And that doesn't even count all the smiles you see when you're around other people or walk into a hospital or the urgent care places. We've been to some of those, and they've asked if we could just be there for half a day to satisfy a curiosity that we all have. And they noticed that all the patients that came in after being out there in the waiting room and a dog being there were actually happier. And so our moods definitely affect our health. You know, obviously if you're sad, and your body's going to feel it, but every time we can joke and have fun and smile, those things itself help our health. And that's just them being there, simple as that. And it goes from that point up to some service dogs have so much work that they love to do that it can be close to 300 commands for them to learn. And typically it's the people that have trouble remembering all those things. So those kind of things really get me excited, because I've been able to see such a wide range of years without giving up my age, you know, of different points of view of a dog, from just a working animal to they're living beings with all kinds of complex personalities. And we've had some one guy with his guide dog called me up, and he said his guide dog was playing tricks on him and liking it. And I asked him what he meant and what was going on, and he said he went to open his closet. Of course, he's blind, and he pulled the door, slid the door open sideways, and was getting ready to reach in. The door slid shut again, and he thought, well, that was strange. And he said the third time he reached down, and he could feel his dog down there. She was wagging her tail. So he reached down and gave her a hug and pet, and then she would let him go on with his day. So she was going to make sure she got her morning hugs. And little stories like that tell you it's more than just a piece of medical equipment. understanding that it's a living being that volunteers to help you out its whole life. That's what it loves to do, is to help you. So I just find it a big honor that I get to work with these animals every day. You know.
All right, that's great. Now, if I understand you right, so you weren't in dog training before, and you were or you were not?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, you were in dog training, just regular obedience dog training or trick dog training or?
It was, I did a little bit of that, but it was primarily, I went from hunting dogs to search and rescue and guide dogs. There was article search, narcotics dogs, bomb dogs. Then into the service dog arena, and then that's when I decided that there just wasn't enough help for people with disabilities. In fact, it had gotten so bad, and it still is, but it had gotten so bad that people can't wait 3 years or 5 years to get their guide dog or their service dog. So in our wonderful free country, we can do things ourselves. And people with disabilities have such a strong heart and fight that they'll set it upon themselves to fix this problem. And some of the things we were seeing was they don't know how to do it, or they just need a little bit of coaching here and there, or they need a lot of help. But it varies with each person, but what stands true is their desire to succeed. So we opened our doors to helping people with a disability train their own dog. All we do is guide dogs and service dogs. We don't help train just a pet dog. There's just, that would be unfair to people with disabilities, because there is so many people with a need. We just limit it to service dogs and guide dogs and therapy dogs. The training has been a wide realm for me for many years. And the other people that are helping, there's a wide range with them. Two other trainers. And we have some new people coming in. They're being taught as apprentice type with our methodologies. The bonding type training relies on your love and your praise, because really that's what they want, is to be part of your pack, you know, and that's all driven by love. It's every once in a while we use some treats, but for primarily they just want you, they want to be with you, you know, throughout the day, and hey, let's do this, you know, we can do that, we can climb this, we can accomplish things, you know, that's what their drive is. And so throughout the whole all the industries, it's pretty much something I see common, is the dog just loves to be part of what you're doing. And that's like a very basic thing. It's just us learning how to communicate. You know, with all the methodologies I learned and of this type of training, really the one that that I found to be best is the oldest one, and that's the bonding style. You know, it's thousands of years old with that style, but it's the best one because it works straight to the heart. And that's what they want, is they want your love. So it also makes it a little bit hard on our trainers, because you get to know every dog, and the dog itself is your friend, and that's the best way to learn to communicate the best, and help the disabled people learn about their dog. So I think my also my EMT background was very good to have around, because you want to have somebody with a medical background hanging out there too, just in case. And so we have some unique situations. We're not out to get everybody to come to our place. We just want to make sure everybody that comes here is equipped with the most we can give them to have the most fulfilled life with their dog. Because really, a dog's life is way too short. And we want everybody to have the most out of it. And the bonding just works so well with doing that, you know.
Okay. Mike, you got a really good story. It's a really interesting story, and we want to give you time to say it, but if you don't let me set it up, then we're not going to have the time to get it out. So
okay.
When I ask you a question, uh-huh. I'm trying to set this thing up. I'm trying to build this house, and you're putting furniture in my house before I got my foundation laid.
All right. Let's see what I can do better.
Let me hold the steering wheel a little bit and, you know, give me a little succinct answer, because, like I said, I'm trying to build up to something. I'm trying to get you heard.
Okay.
And so trust me a little bit and take off Granddaddy's hat and Uncle Remus' hat and set it down for a minute, because I'm going to let you tell a story in a minute. But we got to build it up so people are ready for us to turn the page.
Sounds good.
Now, I hate to limit you to yes or no, but I'm kind of getting to know you a little bit, and you seem to be the kind of guy that likes an essay question. But I got to ask you these yes or no questions.
Sounds good.
Okay, so before you started any type of dog training, you were EMT, correct?
Not before any type of dog training. I had already started some, but.
Okay, so you were into the, I think you said, well, search and rescue was second, I believe you said. Hunting dogs was the first thing you said. See, when you do the story things, we get lost and we can't keep up with you. So you started out training hunting dogs. Now, was this your personal dogs, and then you spread out to training other people's dogs, or were you always training other people's dogs, or did you breed the dogs and train the dogs and market the dogs, or what was that about?
I did start off my own and breed them and train them. And I had taken some others to train. And there, in fact, there was a few people that we'd go out hunting, and I'd go with them. Every once in a while I get the comment, "You just don't care about the hunting part, do you?" I said, "No, not really. It's the dog." you know, make sure they're happy and they're doing what they want and excited and you're happy. And so that started out many, many years ago when I was pretty young. And so that's kind of where that started. And I knew the dogs could do more, but as we get older, we learn a whole lot more. But that was where it started. And I think it kind of went off into the search and rescue, and then bomb dogs. And
okay, I didn't send you that way. See, you're going off, and I didn't send you that way. I asked you about to start. Now I'm trying to do this.
I'm glad
trying to be a good host, and you pulling out all my training of hosting training, so people don't say, "Man, you brought that guy on your show and just beat up on him, treat him so rudely." And see, I don't want people saying bad things about me, but I gotta try to keep it on the track.
I'm not very good.
No, well, you're real good at telling stories. You're not real good at, you know, following the leader over here. But that's okay.
No, I'm not. That's why I want you to hold my hand. That's okay.
I got your hand. I can lead. I can do this. Now, so I believe what I hear you to say. You've been a dog man, and I put man in quotes, since you were a kid. And you grew into it, and you started feeling within yourself from some of the influence from the outside, you know what? I've got a gift here, and I could use this gift for so much better things because there's a need for this gift over here with these people. And that brought to you the guide dogs, and then even a larger need, which was service dogs in general. Am I capturing what you were sharing?
Yep, you're right on it.
Okay, yeah, I try to do this. Now, let's talk a little bit and shift a little gear, just a small and let's talk specifically about your organization, the GAP service dogs. And tell us how that started and how, you know, you decided, you know, we need to do this, and if we're going to do this, we need to do it right. And so you went to pursue the 501c3 and, you know, make it formal. And tell us about that a little bit, and tell us, I want to hear about the mission. I heard you say a little bit about, you know, the time frames were too long for you, and you thought you could do better. And there's a reason to my madness. I'm trying to let you get your part out.
Well, then,
so tell us that.
The desire came about to help fix a problem. And over the years, you know, you make other service dog friends, and I got a few people together that I knew felt the same way, that, you know, basically
What was the problem you were fixing?
Well, we, at the time, it was really hard for a child to get a service dog or a guide dog, almost impossible. And the weight was just so phenomenal, and a lot of the people, they would be considered not eligible. Because, you know, in some cases, if they have too many disabilities, they're told they can't be helped. where it just doesn't seem right to me that a child shouldn't get a service dog. Or if you have multiple disabilities, then yes, it may take longer to train one for that person. They need help. You know, that's just the reality. And we've seen some wonderful things from that that were more than what I expected, and more than I know what those people expected. And we just kind of all got together, and I said, you know, we can't have more people, more kids out there. And there's people out there with their own dog trying. And, you know, there's no reason we can't help. So those things themselves were pretty much the seeds. And since then, it's, you know, we're definitely different than the other places. You know, our methodology is a little bit different. We don't believe in pinch collars, or we try not to have anybody, you know, if somebody's bringing their own personal dog and we're helping them, we try to help them learn they don't need shock collars or chain, you know, the choke chains really aren't necessary. A gentler way, once they learn they can communicate, that can be a wonderful thing. And there's just been so many people that have been missing out, you know, children and people that think, well, to do my own, I have to get all this stuff, you know, and I can't be nice to the dog, and that's just a falsity. And so those things that we're missing were a pretty good driver to get this going, because we just didn't understand why kids shouldn't get help, you know. That was probably our biggest one right there, was more children need help. And if we help the kids of today, then that'll just make a stronger tomorrow for everybody. And so that was pretty much the drive was, you know, the main drive, I should say.
Right, Mike. Let me jump in here just a minute. I'm going to give you something now. If you use this, you got to say the doc gave it to you. You can't just use it and, you know, don't give doc any credit. Because we know right here tonight on this show, doc said what I think I hear you saying is you saw a need and you saw a way to build a better mousetrap. And you said, I'm able to do this. Why shouldn't I do this? You gathered together some people who believe like you believe and said, let's do this. And so that you could produce a better trained guide dog for an underserved population.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Doc. You got it.
Well, you can stick that on a banner somewhere. But, and see, people hear that, and it didn't take me 20 minutes to say it. But, you know, that's all right. You know, they trained me to just go ahead and stick it and stick it and stick it, them little elevator conversations. When you don't have long between floors, you got to get it out there. But,
well, yeah, that's
I ask you this because people want to know, why should I deal with this organization over here, over that organization over there, or over this individual trainer over here, or why shouldn't I do it myself? Now, see, lost in what you said was a pretty good reason why they shouldn't do it themselves. But it got lost in what you were saying. And so, you know, that's why I try to get them bullet points in there to make sure that people are hearing what you're saying, because you're saying some really good stuff. Of course, I guess I'm able to pick it out because I pretty much know what you're going to say, because I'm in the same boat as you. If you're going to have a service dog organization, have a reason for doing it. Because, you know, the world doesn't need just another service dog organization.
Right.
You know, what the world needs are some more focused and better service dog organizations.
Amen.
You know, you had some issues with what was going on out there, and you said, you know what, I'm not just going to sit around here and talk about it and complain and cry. I'm going to use my skills and gather some other people with some skills, and we're going to do something about it. And that's how GAP Service Dogs came to being, because you're a mission-driven organization. See, I want people to know that, and I want that to get out. Now, are you guys breed-specific, or are you looking at different things when you look at, you know, one of your program dogs? How do you get your program dogs? And talk about that a little bit.
Well, we, I would say, no, we're not breed-specific. But... It's also a yes answer, so it'll be a little bit of a story, not much. But our own breeding program, we've reduced it down to only Labradors. At one time we had German Shepherds, we had Rotties, Rottweiler, Golden Retrievers, and what it's come down to is the line we have are very easy trainers. They want to learn. They want to be there. So even a four-year-old child, a dog that doubles the size of that four-year-old child will still want to stay right there, even if the child drops the leash or whatever. The dog's going to want to come to her or him, and, you know, they're just very gentle. They're, and the other breeds, it's not that they can't do it. It's just we found we can, with this specific setup, we can get more dogs to more people that are of high quality. That in that self, we are kind of breed specific, but that's just for our breeding program. But people that have their own or want a specific breed, we have one young lady in class that she likes the Shiloh Shepherds. We have a couple people in class, they like a different type of shepherd. So they're still available to get theirs. You know, they're both very high quality, but the shepherds tend to bond really tight to their original person. So over the years, it made it tough for us to have the shepherds, because they didn't want to go from puppy raiser to the trainers, and then from the trainers to the disabled person. You know, the bond was so strong with the puppy raiser, the success rate wasn't too high. And it wasn't because the dog couldn't do it. It just, the dog was faithful to that first person. So, you know, if somebody's wanting a shepherd, we can reach out to some of these organizations, and you know, if they happen to have one, That's their decision if they want to donate it or if the person has to buy it. And of course, anybody can go to any other place. And, you know, we have a few that we know that are good quality, good people, and they'll be sympathetic to, you know, I can tell them, this is this kind of person. And that helps get the best choice. You know, some people are highly active and low activity, things like that. So we are semi-breed specific within our own, but we help with any breed. So I hope that kind of answers your question.
Well, it fully answered the question, and again, you are talking to a guy that knows what you're going to say. As you know, I'm also a program director, and we are breed-specific, but we also provide training for, you know, any dog, you know, obedience training or trainer-assisted service dog training. And so I understand fully what you're saying, and I wanted to give you a chance to say it, and you even said why, so I didn't even have to follow up the question to ask why. So that's cool, and that's great. One of our answers to the question and situation of what's out there and trying to fix a problem is that bond issue that you spoke about.
Right.
And pretty much, you know, the puppy might bond with the breeder. Then it's got a bond with the puppy raiser. Then it's got a bond with the trainer. Then it takes a long time before it decides, okay, this is my real person. This is the one I'm going to stay with. With the handler.
Right.
And so we take steps in our organization to cut out a whole lot of that. And, you know, we do that by our breed choice and by our training methodology. And so, you know, I like hearing what you're saying, and I'm careful that you're communicating with the listeners because they're not necessarily hearing it the way I'm hearing it, because I'm hearing it through my filter, which is agreeing exactly with you. I'm where you are, but other people might not be where you are, so they don't. I'm trying to bend you in the right positions so that you can be seen in the best light. I'm like a photographer trying to switch you around, saying, now turn this way, now smile, and all that. Now, does your organization have an area of service, or are y'all national, or tell me about that?
Right now, we're primarily Colorado. There's just so many people, and it really doesn't change over the years. It just seems like it's just a continual flow of people needing. In the recent, there's been a huge need for seizure alert dogs, which our line has picked that up extremely well. I think you've probably seen a few pictures on our Facebook page, but some of those are seizure alert dogs, and some of them have been able to pick up strangers walking by, which just makes us, you know, our mouths open and go, who's the dumb breed? You know, who's the dumb animal? It's the human. Because the dogs can figure out stuff we have no clue are going to happen in the future, you know. But also the post-traumatic stress with a lot of the military vets have seemed to be, those two areas have been just flooding in. You know, some people are saying because Colorado has opened its doors for the things like Charlotte's Web that help reduce seizures, that more people are moving here because of that, to get that medication that's not legal in some states. So I don't know if there's a reason like that, or if it's just more people are coming to us out of word of mouth. That's because there's a need for that. I think more people are starting to realize that just because they have a disability doesn't mean they should be ashamed and hide. You know, I find people with disabilities to be amazingly strong, and I'm sure you've been able to see those things too. They're just a whole different group of people that appreciate every moment in life they have and have the strength to fight and carry on. And it's such a blessing to me to have those people close to me. You know, I get a little broken up sometimes, but that little bit that we started off just a general service dog, and we have these specific things coming stronger, has really made an unusual playback on how much it's helped me. So you're probably understanding that same thing that I'm finding out. I started off to help somebody else, but boy, I'm getting a lot of help myself.
Yeah, exactly. You can't hold the hose for somebody else and not get a little wet yourself. That is super. Now, you said something a while back, and I'm looking at my clock here, and I want to make sure that we let you get it all in, about, you know, wait times being 3 to 5 years, and that is very, very true with guide dogs in particular, but yeah. A lot of different service dogs are, you know, long wait times. And tell me some things that your organization does to help shorten the wait time, if you can tell me without giving away any trade secrets.
Well, I kind of mentioned the one which you understand, that if we have a specific line that's easy trainers, and they're quick learners, and their desire is there to help, you try to explain to somebody that this lab and that lab over there, running over there, they're both labs, but they're different. And so many people, without really understanding the depths of a dog, assume that a lab is a lab is a lab, you know. So we've been able to cut it down by having a quality labs, you know, a dog. Doesn't have to be lab, but that's just our case. And we actually use the older ones, the ones that are either just retiring or have graduated. A lot of the graduates will come back and help in the next class with their dog as an example for the younger ones. So it helps strengthen what they've been taught, because they see an older one that's doing everything, you know, when they see left, the dog turns.
And that's how dogs learn.
Yeah, and that's helped helped with that quite a bit. You know, it helps the people also see those and how the dog learns. I understand how the dog learns, and you know, and there's a few classes that we have that maybe the trainers will take a dog and tell the client to, okay, you sit there and watch, and we'll ask them, you tell me what you want to teach this dog next, because we want the clients to start teaching them something, so that understanding of what it takes. And once they start understanding how to communicate, then things also flow faster, too, for us. So having our own, and of course, if people already have theirs, then it's pretty much a matter of how old the dog is and puppy raising. And sometimes we just spend a little extra time. If somebody's having a, they'll say, okay, let's meet up outside the normal class time and go over those things and try to keep everybody up instead of everybody being drugged back. We want to try to help the ones that are struggling, so it moves everybody up instead of down. So that's kind of the things we've tried doing. We ask for more volunteers when we need, and people help go out there and recruit. Clients will say, hey, you know, need some puppy raisers, or we try to keep that flow going, you know, and that's about all we can do. Is to keep saying, because obviously a service dog is going to be so individually different. We do a lot of the general stuff, and as we're just about ready to finalize the general stuff, we start seeing their talent come out, and we can start picking who they go to and match the people up, and then start getting those people in too, and we'll start being a little more effective if the person can be involved in the transition too. So I hope that answers.
Now I'm looking at my clock, and I am seeing that it is about time for me to let you give a summary and some closing remarks, making sure that you spell out very, very clearly how people can get in touch with your organization if they need to. I do have some listeners that are in Colorado and from Colorado, and so some people might want to know more about your organization, or even, you know, volunteer for you, or possibly get a dog from you. But I'm going to give you a chance to think about that while I make this announcement. Do you think? I'll announce. And ladies and gentlemen, we're here, and Mike is just foaming at the mouth to answer some of your questions. So if you want to call in, you can call in at 646-668-2499. Call us and give a question or a comment. And if you don't call, I love you anyway. And we'll just let Mike go ahead and give his summation, and we'll see if anybody has called by that time. And so, Mike, I'm going to give it back to you. And now if you want to tell a story, tell it. If you want to go around the corner, you just go. But I got 5 minutes that I want to give to you to speak to this audience and to let them know the thing that you most want them to know.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much. Well, one of the things that I think are important for everybody to know is getting to know if you're wanting to volunteer or have a place help you or train a dog for you. I would say get to know them first and get to know the rules here and there. We tend to tell people we'd rather you come to a few classes to see if this matches your personality. I would recommend that you really get to know the places because they are so different and everybody's so different themselves. We have a pretty open door policy because we really want everybody to succeed. And if your personality doesn't match ours, if you'd rather have a more aggressive place or things like that, then that's probably best that you got to know, hey, I don't match your style. And there's other places they can go, and good, bad, or indifferent, that's just the best success is to know each other. We're pretty much based in Colorado. There's so much work here to do. We do have some puppies coming, knock on wood. Looks like at the end of the month. And I know the mama's name is Miss Jane, so Miss Jane would like puppy raisers to help with her kids. If there's somebody thinking about puppy raising, we've had parents say that was one of the best things their kids did because it helped them understand that raising a puppy is easier than raising a child. So the fact that they realize how hard it is, they realize they don't want a kid right away, just a little bit later in life. And there's been quite a few moms that have shared that same story and said thank you because they were worried about those things. Of course, they'll have things that happen in our life, but good, bad, or indifferent, our life is just a matter of seeing the gold. We don't really know what's in store in the future, but what we have today is life and good opportunity to enjoy that. So if you need one of our type of dogs, or if you just want to discuss things, the easiest way is actually on our Facebook page, Gap Service Dogs. But you can also send us an email at guild, then the _ assistancedogs at hotmail.com. Guild assistance, I'm sorry, guild_assistant@hotmail.com. The email thing is answered as soon as we can. The Facebook is answered usually within a day or so. If we have a class graduating, it might be a little bit slower, or like these puppies, everybody's going to be excited about that, and we may forget to check the emails because if your choice of puppy breath or email, people tend to choose the puppy breath to play with. But our our primary fee has been from the beginning, you're required to do something for somebody else. Then there's a $25 application fee, and there's a $75 equipment fee that comes later, and that pays for all the identifications and the leases and things like that, and books. And, beyond that, we try to do all our fundraising and grants, non-governmental type, so that it leaves the door open for things. Typically, the government has that if they're going to give the money, they want it to be in this situation only. And we don't really care for that restriction because there's so many other people that need help outside of that. A lot of vets are coming to us because we don't report to the VA anything. It's between us and them, the people. We try to keep all the records as safe as possible, and there's very few people that can access it. But people are welcome to share their story if they want. They don't like people to feel like they have to. So it's a pretty good group of people. Without my saying, the people have started the feels like a Gap family. They call it the Gap family, and it's kind of nice to feel that everybody feels that safe, you know. So I thank you for your time and this opportunity. Hope I haven't talked your ear off too much, but if you're in Colorado, feel free to. We also have puppy walkers, we call them. They're people that just come to class. They don't take a puppy home to do a puppy raising, but they still want to help. They may not have a lot of funds to help, and they can't take a puppy, but they can come to class. And most nonprofit organizations have a bunch of needs that may not be exactly, you don't have to work as a web designer. We have a new website, just came up. It's in the link's on our Facebook page, and the idea did that. That was one of the things she wanted to do to help us, because we've helped her, and so we believe in a lot of helping each other. So, Doc, I know you understand how the repercussions of that are.
Oh yeah.
What else would you like to? What did I miss? That'd be better. You're the. Is there other information that I need to hand out, or?
I think you pretty much, you gave your Facebook, you gave your email, you gave your webpage, you gave the name of your organization, and you gave the answer to the question that so many people want to know, is how can I get one of them free service dogs and not have to wait 3 to 5 years to get it? You about put the rest of us out of business with that one. We can't compete with that.
It's just a different way. That's all it is. The going for the grant thing. Of course, we have so many volunteers that keep those costs down that we can do, and A lot of those costs, like if a dog has to be, a puppy has to be spayed, then we can try, but the reality is most of the people will, they'll do that themselves, they'll, or have it done. I shouldn't say do it themselves, but, you know, and one of the nice things is we do have a veterinarian on our board of directors. So he has some influence to help out people with vet costs and us with vet costs. And so it's a lot of footwork on, hey, how can you help, you know, type of thing. It's, like I said, it's been a wonderful flower that's blossomed from, you know, I don't do good asking for help, but I'll try my hardest. I'll stay up all night to work with the dog, and I think with our open door policy, people have gone, you know, this isn't just people trying to get rich, you know, it's honest people just trying to help out each other, and it does not mean because a place has to charge that they're not. It just means that we try to get Pepsi to pay for stuff and grants and, you know, everybody we can, every company we can, we try to hit up, and we've got some great sponsors and things like that. And, there's, you know, just tons of them that are out there, and picking up more each day. There's this Defend Yourself with Young Living essential oils, and there's Frank's Barbecue and American Flag and Pennant. Just companies, once they see and hear how much people need just a little help here, there's a lot of these companies that will step up, you know, and help out. So that's pretty much the way, having no money, the way we had to scratch around to get going, and we figured, you know, it's worked. We're trying to do more grants so we can get more, you know, things to help. We want to set up our own veterinary clinic specifically for our dogs, and any other service dog place, we want to welcome them, but make it pretty specific. That's a dream that hopefully we can accomplish, that we're hoping to bind more of the service dog and guide dog community together to help the strength of the whole. You know, that's really, obviously teamwork is a big thing, and really we found that to be a huge help. So
yeah. Well, you took a good bit of time, and I appreciate it myself, but it sounded like you were talking directly to a bunch of program managers, which is great, because as you know, there's not a whole bunch of friendships amongst different programs, and there should be, because we shouldn't be competing for the same people. We should be supporting the same people, and that helps build relationships. It helps build the community, and you know, when the water level rises, all the ships increase their level. But yeah. I am definitely going to talk to you offline. Maybe I'll give you a phone call or an email or something. Because there are some things we could do better, and there are some things that you are doing that we're not doing. And, you know, frankly, I want to know how you're able to do it. That, I am that curious. And I will sit at the feet of a wise old sage and say, show me the way, Obi-Wan Kenobi, because you're doing a good job, and I would never have called you to ask you to be on the show had I not heard from a couple different people about your program and the things that you're doing over there in Colorado and how you're able to do it. That really impressed me because I know how difficult it is to get a dog bred properly, raised well, trained to standard, and supported for the lifetime of the dog with the family that it's in. I know what that takes. And you're able to do that, and you're doing it for a while, and you're doing it pretty well. And so I don't want to blow smoke up your skirt, but I'm just telling you, you know, I've heard you're doing a good job. I'm listening at you. And, you know, I can hear your heart. Your heart's in the right place. And you make a lot of the people who are anti-program, you know, you make them have to just close their mouth. Because you are not that person that they like to talk about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can really appreciate it. And like I said, you know, we are in one of the same groups, but you have made a friend down here in Florida, and I do get up to Colorado Springs every now and then.
And, oh, yeah, look us up.
So I am definitely going to come with my notepad and see how the professionals are doing it.
Well, you are too. So there's things to be learned both ways. So you feel free to, when you're up here, we'll try to make sure we spend some time together.
Yeah, I most definitely would rather be out there on the ranch with dogs than at the Olympic Training Center on the mat getting beat up by these young people these days that have no respect for us old retired folks.
I know, huh?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. But, Mike, I appreciate you being on, and we're going to go ahead and land this here deal because I don't have any callers calling in with questions, so we have done it the best way we know how to do it, and we have informed and enlightened people. And, folks, now you know there is an organization out there in Colorado, Gap Service Dogs. You can find them. You can Google them. And that Gap is actually Guild Assistance Dog Partners, and they made a real cute little Gap out of that. So I'm going to send you to the Gap, and, you know, if they can't help you, you might not be able to be helped because sounds like some really good people doing some really good work for the right reason. And, you know, if I can't help you, because I can't help everybody, I can only help about 10 a year. And if I can't help you, somebody else needs to help you, so Mike's right there, and he could do it for you for less out of you than me. I require a little more out of him than you do, Mike. You just want one good thing. I need about several good things. And
I understand. It is pretty tough to, because the studies I saw there's each service dog, if you had to pay for everything, their value is about $65,000. So I understand it's to keep from going under, you got to do some things. So,
yeah, and you know, somebody's got to raise that money because the money has got to be raised. And, you know, partner with your organization, you know, don't hate your organization because, you know, they're trying to do it for you. And partner with them. And I like the way you're doing the stuff. Pretty much the same principle as what we do. You say, we want you to help somebody else. You do a mitzvah for somebody. And do a good thing. And that's great. And that's what I require. I require them to put back into what they're taking out of. And, you know, volunteer. You're going to be a volunteer with this organization for the life of your dog. And then when you need another dog, they have aged out of our organization. By then I have to look in my Rolodex and find one of my friends and say, hey, this person here has dogs for your need, and they could take care of you. And so it's good to have people to be able to refer people to. That's more than just a name on a sheet somewhere. And I'm a guy that believes in building relationships, and that's great. But so I'm going to let you give a salutation to the people, Mike, and then I'll go ahead and land the show. So you can go ahead and speak to the people and say your goodbyes, and then I'll go ahead and bring this to a close. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Something definitely your heart goes into when you do this, get into these. If you can volunteer for any place to help them, please at least look into it. Doc, I thank you very much for your time and your show, and I'll let you get back to your business, and feel free to look us up when you come here. We want to shake your hand, say hi. Maybe we'll get you a puppy just to play with while you're here so you don't feel like you're missing out.
Thanks again. I'll probably be bringing one with me if you allow other dogs on your property there. I won't go too far without mine because I love mine.
But I completely understand that.
I do appreciate you, Mike, and I thank you, and I say you are indeed welcome. And when I do finally get the facility built up, there'll be a room for you. And
that
sounds
good.
Folks out there, all my little All About Service Dogs people and Mike's people that listened because you wanted to hear Mike, I appreciate you listening to the show tonight. There's much love all the way around. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
Your dog loves you. Be good to your dog. Be good to yourself. And come back tomorrow, because tomorrow night, let me tell you who we have tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we got Scott Stouffer, and he is the founder of Second to None Canine Life Coach. So tune in tomorrow to find out what a canine life coach is all about and, you know, how he can make your life better with your dog. So having said that, I'm going to say peace, love, and joy to everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good night.